Good afternoon, everybody. Ezra prayed for a glimpse of God, just a little glimpse of God, for me to share my testimony and just the fact that I'm up here and that he's keeping my legs straight up and down and I'm not collapsed. That's the power of God. That's not me. I was thinking about when I was asked to share my testimony. That was a couple of weeks ago. And that statement of saying my testimony was kind of running through my head. And I'm thinking, is it my testimony? Whose testimony is this that I'm actually up here talking and going to share the things that I'm going to share? And again, it's God's testimony through the power of the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because we have nothing good in us, all of our righteousness is but filthy rags, but he is perfect and he is without sin. And that was his mission, to come and seek and to save those who are lost. And I was lost. And I think my testimony is more like, say, the thief on the cross, because you see, different people have different testimonies, and some have dramatic experiences with God when they come to the point of saying that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. We see Paul, you know, how he was changed on the road to Damascus. That was a pretty major thing. You know, but then we see the thief on the cross, and that was one minute he was blaspheming the name of God, and the next minute he's praising Jesus and he's asking him to remember him when he goes into paradise. So everybody has a different experience with that. So I would just like to start out by sharing some scripture, and hopefully that will demonstrate who saves us and who is our Savior. And it's in Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he's the author of our faith. He's the person that begins our faith. He's the one that by his Spirit comes into us. And even, I was talking to Nathaniel, even to be able to see the words as you read the Bible, and then to be able to hear the words when somebody preaches, that's because God has enlightened you to make you understand. So we can praise him for that. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. First Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So just the fact that we can understand the gospel, that Jesus came, died, rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, that he saved us by the shedding of his blood. And another one, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. And there's so much in scripture that speaks of, it's not us, it's him. He's doing the work in us. He's drawing us. Scripture says no one comes to the Father but by me. And he's God himself, God the Father, is drawing us to his Son to be able to confess him. John 12:1-13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So apart from the Spirit of the Lord coming within us, a person cannot even confess Jesus as Lord. And then Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of ourself, but a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So grace and faith are gifts from God. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So apart from Jesus illuminating our eyes and our mind, we're blinded by the God of this world, which we know who that individual is. So I just wanted to share a few of those verses with you just to let you know that the testimony I'm going to share is God's testimony of what he did in my life and then in my wife's life and in our children's life. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we can teach them and read the Bible to them. And so my testimony is I was born in a typical blue-collar family in Rhinelander. My dad worked in the paper mill, and we were Catholics. Grew up in the Catholic Church. And I wasn't a very good Catholic at that. You know, we would go to church on Sundays, and I guess typically a Saturday night would be the time that we would go. And so I knew there was a God, but I didn't know that I needed to have a relationship with the Savior of the world. And I always thought that, you know, just because you were going to church and I had a few good things that I did, I thought that I was okay. And that was for quite a few years of my life. And in 1985, my brother, one of my older brothers, he got saved when he was in the service. So he had a radical change in his life. And then, of course, he started sharing things with me. And of course, him being in the service and overseas, he would be calling and he'd talk to me every now and then again. And most of the time it was him preaching on the phone. You know, my ear would be sweaty from holding the phone up to my ear for an hour at a crack, and he's sharing scripture with me. And he did that for a while, and then pretty soon I got to the point I said, Mark, I love you as a brother, but I don't need to hear this right now. And I think that was probably about 1987. So the Lord is already moving in my life because he saved my brother, and now he's preaching to me. And I've never heard that before. You know, we would always go to the Catholic Church and you could miss a Mass, and, you know, a couple of weeks later you would hear the same thing. You know, it was such a ritual that this gospel thing and this believing in this Jesus and that I was a sinner was foreign to me. And it actually kind of got underneath my fingernails. It made me angry. So I told my brother, I don't need that. So he honored me. He stopped preaching to me when he called. And I believe that was 85, and then that would be into the later part of the 80s, and then I went to school for the particular work that I'm doing right now, and out of school, I got hired in this company, probably the central part of the state, and I always wanted to get back north here, so I kept trying to put in for these different locations, but I was always turned down. And then Minocqua came available, and I interviewed for the job, and I got the job. And one thing neat about after the fact that you get saved, you could look back and see how the Lord, even when you had your back turned against him, how he was leading and guiding you and gently bringing you along, even though you're a rebellious person and using his name as an everyday word, and he still loved me, and he still loves me today, and you can see how he brings you along. So I got that job in Minocqua, and he put us into this particular neighborhood, and I don't know why we were having a rummage sale, probably because we had so much junk we had to get rid of it. So this neighbor lady down the road happened to see our sign, and she ended up coming to the rummage sale, and her and Lisa connected, and this lady said she wanted to buy all the things that we had pertaining to Jesus, and whether it was a picture or a Bible verse or something like that. And I don't even know why we had that in our house other than the fact that we were Catholics, and you know, we might have had something in there, but I can't think of anything that we would have. But anyways, we got to be good friends, Lisa did, with her, and this lady started sharing with Lisa some truth about the Bible because she had been going to a Bible church. And in that transaction time there, that was probably, well, let's see, I started there in 90, so it was probably between 90 and 91 and a half, roughly. And in that time, Lisa started working Saturdays cleaning cottages too, and there happened to be a lady there that she worked with, and she would share the gospel with Lisa. So you can see where the Lord's bringing these people into our life. Every seems like almost every turn we take, he's putting somebody there to bring the gospel to us. So that neighbor lady that I was telling you about, she kept calling. Every Sunday when we didn't go to her church, she'd call us up, maybe Sunday night or Monday, and she's, why aren't you guys in church? You know, and we're going to the Catholic church. And that went on for a little while, and then, I don't know, that same thing happened. She called, and that seemed to kind of get under our nerves a little bit. And Lisa and I decided, you know, let's just go to her church and then get this lady off of our back. So we thought that was going to be the plan that would be the best, you know. So we ended up, we went to the church, happened to be the free church up there. And, wow, this is really different than the Catholic church. You know, usually you go in the Catholic church and it's pretty dead. Nobody's talking and nobody's shaking hands or being friendly at all, you know. So we thought, wow, this is really kind of neat. So we liked that. And she was happy that we went to church, and so we pleased her. And so we kind of did that back and forth. Then we'd go back to the Catholic church and go there for a few weeks, and the lady would call and say, well, you didn't come to church today. We said, oh, okay. So we went back to that church, you know, and we liked that one because the pastor there was so good at preaching the gospel. It seemed like almost every weekend he would bring a principle of the Bible, he would read that, and then he would always take it back to the cross, and he would bring the salvation message into it, because we can't even think about applying the principles of the Bible without Christ in our life and the Holy Spirit. So he would always take that back to the cross and give a salvation message. So we flip flap back and forth for a little bit there, and then I remember distinctly, I think that's when the Lord grabbed the back of our shirts in the Catholic church that one night. It was a Saturday night. Lisa and I and the kids were there, and it was a real dry place, and I remember so vividly that her and I both looked at each other and said, what are we doing in this place? So I think that was the Lord. He just grabbed us by the nape of the neck and threw us out of that place. And we never went back. And so we attended that Faith Free Church. And that was probably late 91, somewhere around there. And like I said, that pastor there was so good at sharing the gospel. And this would be in the late summer, early fall of 1995. So we had been attending there probably three and a half years. And the pastor had an altar call. You know, bow your head. Who wants to receive Jesus? And I was tired of the life that I was living. And I gave my life to the Lord because he had been calling me. And that was, I just felt the weight of the world coming off. It was just one of those things, you know. And service ended and we were driving home and, you know, we didn't have that far of a drive, but I had asked Lisa, I said, did you raise your hand today? And she said, yes. So at that very moment, God saved her and me at the very same time. Yeah. So that was really neat then. Just to see how he orchestrated the fact, because he probably figured there was going to be some conflict between her and me. Because her family was more into the Catholic religion than we were. So I think there would have been more of a headbutting than that. I don't know, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, but I think the reason why he saved us at that same time, which I don't know if that's a common thing or an uncommon thing, but it was an amazing thing, I'll tell you that. So that was in 1995, early fall of 95. And it hasn't always been easy to be a believer. Jesus has done the finished work for us in coming to him. I mean, we have to labor no more to come to him for salvation. But as you walk through your life as a Christian, there are trying times. There are hard times. Scripture says that there will be tribulation. And those tribulations come because you want to follow God. You want to follow Jesus. And you want to follow what his word says. So there's at times family members and friends and co-workers and that sort of thing that do not have the same belief that you have. And those are the times that it's a person needs encouragement to be a follower of Christ. And hopefully we can encourage each other with those truths and build each other up in the strength of the faith. I think the only other thing that I can share about this is that's in Luke. I think 14, it talks about, I think I'll just, he says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. That just kind of brought back to the point of my salvation. I don't remember ever having any questions in my mind of what the family is going to think about me or the new job that I have or anything like that. The Lord never allowed those thoughts to where I might say, you know, Lord, I can't come to you right now because I have something else that's more important than that. I don't ever remember that. So I have to praise him for that, that I was able to receive him at that time without any hindrance and not caring about anything that the world had to offer. But I know I needed to be saved. So I thank him for that, and then the Bible verse that he put in my head is not very much after I got saved, was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. For some reason, he stuck that in my head ever since, and it's a verse that I often go back to and get encouragement from it, because it actually brings me back to the point of salvation. It helps me remember that I was saved. And the last verse that I'd like to share with you guys is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's what saved me, you guys, those very words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I give thanks to God for that pastor that would continually share the gospel, because he knew that I needed it. And I thank him for that. So thank you, guys.